This is the Behind the Line podcast coming to you from the wacky left coast capital of Seattle. News from the Pacific Northwest, the left coast, the U.S., and the world that matters. Stories the MSM won't talk about. Deciphering the truth through all the lies. For more, visit BehindTheLinePodcast.com.
We live in dangerous times. What are you doing to prepare yourself for it? On Tuesday, October 31st, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, warned that amid the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas, the U.S. is in a dangerous period, and the threat of targeted attacks, including hate crimes, not seen in about a decade, remain high. The threat perception of international terrorism in the United States was deemed remarkably low in recent years, especially after territorial gains of the so-called Islamic State terror group were liberated in Iraq and Syria. But recent reports in the U.S. media citing senior American officials says Hamas' deadly attack October 7th on Israel is likely to have implications for individuals in and beyond the U.S. The reality is that the terrorism threat has been elevated through 2023, but the ongoing war in the Middle East has raised the threat of an attack against Americans in the United States to a whole other level, Christopher Wray said in testimony before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He likened Hamas to ISIS. Wray said that while the FBI has no evidence of an imminent threat from a foreign terrorist group inside the U.S., Al-Qaeda has issued its most specific call for violence against the U.S. after many years. Besides, the Islamic State has urged its purported followers, often deemed as sleeper cells by a number of intelligence agencies, to target Jewish people in the United States and Europe. Christine Abizide, the director of National Counterterrorism Center, said that the Israel-Hamas war is featured in Al-Qaeda's propaganda since October 7th. We have seen it from Al-Qaeda affiliates, almost every single one of them, she was quoted as saying by Newsweek. We have also seen it from ISIS, which isn't ideologically aligned with a group like Hamas, but is still leveraging this current conflict to try to sow the kind of violence, bring adherence to its cause in a kind of exploitative way. Meanwhile, the FBI director said the most significant concern for the FBI is extremist acts of violence, which could potentially be committed by lone individuals inspired by the terrorist groups. We have seen that already with the individual we arrested last week in Houston who'd been studying how to build bombs and posted online about his support for killing Jews, Wray said. And with the tragic killing of a 6-year-old Muslim boy in Illinois in what we're investigating as a federal hate crime. And meanwhile, our border is wide open. You have record numbers of people continuing to cross the border unchecked. Military age, single men, not families, not people trying to escape the socialism, the communism that exists south of the border, the drug lords, all the other things. Single aged, fighting aged males. For what? Why are they coming here? One can only speculate. Maybe use some common sense. So to go right along with that, have you heard about this? Republican senators have sounded the alarm on the Biden administration's border policies after Border Patrol agents caught illegal border crossers who were carrying explosive devices that Senator John Barrasso, a Republican from Wyoming, said were tailor-made for terrorism. Mr. Barrasso, who is the Senate Republican Conference Chairman, made the startling revelation at a press conference on October 31st. The senator said that over 8 million illegal border crossings have taken place under President Joe Biden's watch, while asserting that explosive devices found on some border crossers in recent days represent an elevated risk of terror attacks against the homeland. You think? Why are they bringing these things into the U.S.? We've just returned from our southern border, and it's painfully clear that with Joe Biden's open border policy, Our country is really at an increased threat for a terrorist attack, Mr. Barroso said at Tuesday's press conference. Several days ago, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents seized illegal immigrants carrying with them improvised explosive devices that Mr. Barroso said were the size of cannonballs and were tailor-made for terrorism. Speaking at the press conference, Mr. Ricketts said that due to what he said were President Biden's failed border policies, there were 18 people on the terrorist watch list caught entering the United States illegally in September, and 172 last year. People on the terrorist watch list, these are the ones they caught. These aren't the ones that got through. Who knows how many of those there are? To put this in perspective, in years past, that number was single digits, Mr. Ricketts said. We're opening ourselves up for a terrorist attack. I don't understand why people don't understand the importance of closing the border, especially right now, with all the things going on in the Middle East and all these people pouring across our border. And we're just going to let it happen. Do you remember 9/11? Have you listened to the rhetoric coming out of these groups and countries in the Middle East that hate America? Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, Lebanon. They hate America. They hate the West. They hate you. But we're just going to keep playing in our little fantasy land that we're too far removed from all that for it to affect us, or that if we just keep talking nice to these people and support them, that they're somehow going to come around and be on our side or not hate us anymore. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. People need to face reality. Our borders need to be closed now. It's a matter of national security. We are going to have some other kind of terrorist attack in this country, or multiple attacks. Do you want to live in a country where you have to worry about a car bomb going off, just going to the store, or some whack job coming into the store and blowing himself up? Because that's where we're headed. And meanwhile, we're still worried about pronouns and rainbow flags and all kinds of other crap that doesn't matter in the whole scheme and scope of things. They want to take your guns away so you can't protect yourself when these people do show up. And it's not just the crazy terrorists coming into our country, you know, you got this lunatic in Illinois, I think, that stabbed a 6-year-old Muslim boy to death because of what he sees going on in the news in the Middle East. So I talked about the lunatics in the last episode. They're everywhere. They're on both sides. If you're not a lunatic, you definitely should have the right to carry a firearm and protect yourself from all the many, many, many other idiots roaming the world that you get to deal with on a daily basis when you leave your house, or who may even show up to your house. Because the federal government is not going to protect you, and your local government is not going to protect you. The cops will show up when it's all said and done and investigate the aftermath. But unfortunately, speaking from experience as a police officer, most of the time, 98% of the time, you're showing up after the fact when it's too late. Very rarely, as an officer, did I get the opportunity to intervene and actually stop something that was happening in progress. It's on you to protect yourself and your family. And you know it's bad when the mayors from some of the most liberal blue cities in the country are petitioning Biden for help with these migrants, with these illegals. The mayors of Chicago, Denver, Houston, and Los Angeles are pressing to meet with President Biden about getting federal help in managing the surge of migrants they say are arriving in their cities with little to no coordination, support, or resources from his administration. The Democratic leaders say in a letter obtained by the Associated Press on Wednesday that while they are appreciative of Biden's efforts so far, much more needs to be done to ease the burden on their cities. Migrants are sleeping in police station foyers in Chicago. In New York, a cruise ship terminal was turned into a shelter. In Denver, the number of migrants arriving has increased tenfold, and available space to shelter them has withered. With fewer available work authorizations, these migrants cannot find work that would allow them to get into proper housing. Biden has requested $1.4 billion from Congress to help state and local governments provide shelter and services for migrants after earlier pleas from Democratic mayors and governors. The mayors say in their letter that more is needed, and they are asking for $5 billion. Denver is spending $2 million a week on sheltering migrants. New York has surpassed a total of $1.7 billion, and Chicago has spent $320 million, according to the letter. You know, all this billions of dollars being spent on people that aren't even legally supposed to be here. They've broken the law. They've entered the country illegally. And yet we're going to great lengths to provide them housing and services. They are trying to shorten the waiting period to 30 days so they could get a job. In New York, they're processing, they've made it so they can process 300 migrants a day so they can be able to get work. That's great and all, but there are American citizens. There are veterans. There are little kids, homeless, houseless, who need assistance in this country. People who are citizens of this country who should be helped. That this money, this endless amount of money that they're spending on these illegals should go to. You have a drug and mental health crisis in this country that money should be spent on. Getting people clean and sober so they can be productive members of society. Getting people the mental health care that they need so they can be productive members of society. We should not be spending this money or using these resources or taking up all this space for people who aren't even legally supposed to be here. They are overwhelming the system in every state, the resources in every state for the citizens of the state who are supposed to get those resources. They're overwhelming our hospitals and medical care. Have you gone to the hospital lately? It's full of people sitting in the ER waiting room to be seen by a doctor for whatever, because not for emergencies, just for medical care, because they can't go to or won't go to a regular doctor's office because they're not supposed to be here. They're overwhelming the system. Police and fire departments have to deal with all this stuff. An ambulance that transports somebody to a hospital, because the hospital is overwhelmed, they may have to sit for 3 to 6 hours with a patient until they're seen, because they can't just dump a patient. And the hospital is overwhelmed. Now, you can't afford to have fire department ambulances sitting around a hospital for 3 to 6 hours when there's other stuff going on. What care are you going to get if you call 911? It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. This problem continues to get bigger. It's not just the illegals overwhelming everything, but they're taking all these resources. You've got all these homeless and mentally ill people on the streets that are overwhelming. But maybe if they had the money, instead of spending it on
illegals and wars in other countries that we don't need to be involved in, and sending aid to these other countries that we don't need to be involved in. America first. Spend that money at home. Get these people the help they need so the system will work properly, so it's not overwhelmed with people every single day. Mental health care, drug addiction, homelessness. Do something. Stop spending this money outside of the country or for people who don't belong here. American citizens deserve that help. Veterans who serve this country deserve that help. Enough is enough of this. Are we going to finally wake up when one of these illegals walks into a supermarket and blows himself up and kills 20 people? Walks into a school and blows himself up and kills a bunch of kids? Are we going to wake up then? Oh, we're going to get so angry and say, we didn't know. We didn't see this coming. We can't believe this happened. Give me a break. It's going to happen if you don't do something to stop these people. Quit living with your head in the sand. We did that for a long time, and then 9/11 happened. Oh, it took us by surprise, caught us off guard. We can't believe this. And for a while, we came back together. We cared about this stuff. And then we got complacent again because people have no memory. People just, as long as they've got their Starbucks and Netflix and whatever, fast food, we're fine. We're a long ways from all that trouble. It's banging on your door. You just don't know it. Oh yeah, don't forget about that other war we got going on still in Europe with Ukraine and Russia. You don't see much about that on the news anymore with all this Israeli stuff going on, but it's still raging. Russia just launched a whole bunch of airstrikes last night. Drones and missiles. So now Putin has signed a bill Thursday to allow Moscow to pull out of a long-standing nuclear testing ban treaty amid heightened tensions in Ukraine and the Middle East. State-run media reported that the Russian leader signed the measure into law after it was passed by Russia's parliament, or Duma, last month. The comprehensive nuclear test ban treaty was initiated in 1996, and Russia ultimately signed it, although the nuclear-armed countries of the United States, India, Pakistan, and China, among others, did not ratify it. The CTBT bans all nuclear explosions anywhere in the world, but the treaty was never fully implemented. Mr. Putin noted in October that signing of the measure would mirror Moscow's relations with the United States. The Kremlin also recently denied that it intended to carry out nuclear testing after it ended the agreement. The president was primarily referring to the need to bring the de facto situation to a common denominator with the United States, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters in October. There have been concerns, however, that Moscow could again start resuming the testing of nuclear weapons to try and prevent the United States and other Western countries from continuing to back Ukraine in its war against Russia. Of course they're going to. Of course they're going to. They're going to flex. They're going to go start setting off nuclear bombs so they can flex to make everybody think twice about messing with Mother Russia. It's an intimidation tactic. Of course they're going to do that. And then I suppose we will too. In October, Russia completed the test of what was described as a long-range experimental missile that is nuclear-powered, said Mr. Putin. Known as the... I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's a cruise missile. It has a range of up to 14,000 miles. It's a long ways. Mr. Putin added that Russia's strategic forces would soon move forward towards mass-producing another nuclear-capable missile called the Sarmat, which was placed on combat duty. He said that experts say that this is a new weapon and it is necessary to make sure that the special warhead will work without failures and tests must be carried out. See what I'm saying? Since the start of the Ukraine war, a number of Russian officials have signaled that the conflict could go nuclear if Western powers get more involved. Days after the Russian invasion, the Kremlin placed its nuclear forces on elevated alert. And also last month, the U.S. Department of Energy confirmed it conducted a subsurface chemical explosion at the Nevada nuclear test site in recent days, and what officials said was a bid to test detecting of low-level nuclear blasts. The experiment will help validate new predictive explosion models and detect algorithms, a news release said. Measurements were collected using accelerometers, seismometers, infrasound sensors, electromagnetic sensors, chemical and radio tracer samplers, and meteorological sensors. Last week, the Department of Defense said it would pursue the development of a nuclear bomb, but first needs congressional approval. Give me a break. Is anybody else sick and tired of these old turds in government leading us down these paths of war after war after war? There's some talk now that a draft could be possible, and I suppose if World War III breaks out, you're going to see a draft. I don't want my kids going to fight for any of that garbage. I don't want anybody else's kids having to go fight for that. What are you fighting for? Not freedom. Not democracy. You're fighting for their power, their control. I support the military. I do not support these wars. These ridiculous wars that we get involved in for oil or control or power. These wars we get involved in based on lies. Every war you could go back and look, and there's some false flag or lie used to manipulate the public to get them to support a war. I just want to be left alone. I want my kids left alone. I want to live in peace. I want my kids to live in peace and be happy. And they shouldn't have to worry about some idiot old man in another country, another state, in the government, deciding that we're going to go fight for what? The military should be used to protect this country, and that is it. If you had a situation like Hitler, I could see there being the need to stop that, to have a war. Do I see anything right now that leads me to believe we have to worry about some kind of Hitler situation or somebody trying to take over all of Europe or the United States? No, I do not. This country could be completely self-sufficient with oil and resources and everything else, but we choose not to be. Our government chooses not to be. Our government chooses to go take it from other countries in one way or another. We need to stop relying on other countries. I'm not saying that we shouldn't trade or whatever. But there's no reason to have to rely on other countries for our infrastructure or our resources to survive day to day. No reason at all. And the reason I bring the draft up is because suddenly the military is, within the next week or so, a couple weeks, they want 800 new recruiting officers to be put through their, you know, army recruiting training to go out and start recruiting people. 800 all of a sudden, like, boom, they get their orders. Within a week or two, you're going to this training. Why? Why suddenly do we need 800 new military recruiting officers? It's suspect. It's suspicious. Something is off about that. They've never done that. You've got all this stuff ramping up in Europe and the Middle East, and now 800 new recruiting officers. Don't ignore these. Connect the dots. Something is going on. Something is getting ready to happen. it should be pretty obvious. I don't care about your political persuasion, your sexual persuasion, your religious persuasion. You, in this country, should be free to do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting somebody else. We do not need to fight these wars. We do not need to spend all this money on these other countries and their wars. This money needs to be kept at home. We need to take care of America. And it needs to be America first.
And changing gears here, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, issued an alert to healthcare providers to administer the right dosage of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine to children amid reports that double doses were being given to children. If you're getting your child vaccine for COVID, you are an idiot. We are advising healthcare providers to administer the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine to individuals 6 months through 11 years of age to ensure that the correct volume of the vaccine is withdrawn from the vial so that the correct dose is administered to the vaccine recipient. You think? Again, if you're getting your child, a 6-month-old, vaccinated for COVID, after everything that you've seen about these vaccines, you are a idiot. Just an idiot. The FDA said it has since revised a fact sheet for healthcare providers on the mRNA vaccine to further clarify that 0.25 milliliters should be withdrawn from the vial, and that the vial and any excess volume should then be discarded. The agency added it has become aware that some healthcare providers may not recognize that the single-dose vial of Moderna for use in individuals 6 months to 11 years of age contains notably more than 0.25 milliliters. Why? Why? Obviously, people are too stupid to figure this out, even a doctor. So why don't you make the vials for kids the right size with only the right amount in it? This came after a 5-year-old girl in North Carolina accidentally received a double dose of vaccine. The unnamed mother was called by the doctor's office, who told her that we made a mistake. We gave the girl the vaccine. We gave her a double dose instead of a single dose. I just, honestly, it baffles me. In late 2021, more than a dozen children were given an incorrect COVID-19 vaccine dosage in Antioch, California. According to local reports, some children received double the amount they were supposed to. In a more striking example, some 110 kids aged 5 to 11 were given the wrong dose of COVID-19 vaccine at a pharmacy in Virginia. The county's health officer at the time said that the pharmacy that administered the shots incorrectly attempted to use the adult vaccine to provide to children by cutting the doses into thirds. I'm baffled by people doing this to their children. I don't understand. This is a sickness, a bioweapon, for the most part, that causes you to feel like crap. It may have some lingering long-term effects, but your body can fight it off, just like the flu. You don't need to get a shot. You don't need to put some experimental thing into your body that we've all seen the reports about the side effects and the long-lasting effects that this stuff will do to you. Why would you put that in your kids? Kids have a strong immune system. They don't need this.
Thank you for listening to the Behind the Line podcast. If you like this broadcast, please like and share it. Please follow us on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, Twitter, Truth Social, Telegram, Gab, Parler, and LinkedIn. You can find our podcast at theonlinepodcast.com, netnewsnetwork.net, and on Anchor, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google. Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and anywhere podcasts can be found. Thank you for your support.